2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. let's read just verses 12 through 17, and then we'll kind of do a little review, you know, because anytime the Bible says therefore, right, it's there for a reason, it's therefore because of what we've learned prior to this. But let's read verses 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this: Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Title of the message this morning, Are You in Christ? Now, let's just do a little review as we've been in chapter 5, and we've seen in chapter 4 and 5 that Paul's dealing specifically with this physical body, right? He's dealing with this body that one day will fall apart. We're all learning that very quickly. And so he then gives us these motivations. We talked about three motivations last week. Why? Because here's what I hear, and I won't belabor this too much from last week. Here's what kind of the thought today is in Christianity. It's all that matters is that you're saved. I hear that all the time. I think there's a spirit out there that says, well, all that really matters is that you're going to heaven. Well, I told you last week, if that's all that really matters, then boy, God sure did write a whole lot more that would be a waste of time, because he could have really made it short and just said, all that matters is that you're saved and here's what salvation is, and we could have had one chapter in the Bible. But all that matters for eternal life is that you're in Christ, and we'll talk about what that means. But we saw these things about motivation. We saw them first is that we will stand before Christ. Every single person here, we will all be judged. Now, if you die in your sins, and we'll talk about that, you will stand before God at the great white throne judgment. That's not the good judgment. Those that are believers, we saw in 2 Corinthians 5, that we will all stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. We will not be judged for our sins, those of us that are true followers, true believers in Jesus Christ, but we will be judged for what we've done in the body, whether it be good or bad, the Bible says. And it says, knowing therefore this terror, we persuade men. First motivation is, we will stand before the Lord and we will be judged. The second motivation is, as it talked about last week, is everything we do reflects on God. If we are nuts, if we are crazy, if we are weird, that reflects on God. Everything we do reflects on God. So the first one is that we will all be judged, whether it be good or bad. And I got some great feedback, and I want to just touch this just a little bit. It's this. When I preach the judgment seat of Christ, some of you left discouraged. And here's why some of you left discouraged. Because you might have a little bit more gray hair than others. And so when you understand that truth, right? And to some that was a new truth, right? You understand this. A believer will not be judged for their sins. But a believer will be judged for what we do in the body, whether it be good or bad. That's terrifying. The Bible admits that and recognizes that. So for some of us that were older, you could leave discouraged and say, well, I've wasted so much of my life. But here's the point of the Bible. We can't change yesterday. Paul says he does this one thing. He puts those things which are behind and he presses forward to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. So here's the point. I wish I had preached it in a better balance. Don't be discouraged. You can't change yesterday, can you? Don't you wish you could change some yesterdays? I think if the Lord gave me 3 minutes of my life, and I could go and just change and take them by seconds, right? I'm going to change this 10 seconds here, 25 seconds here, 45 seconds here, You know, and I could, you know, okay, why do I think about those things? I don't know. Everybody else is looking like, I don't even know what you're... My life, you know, I would change things. Wouldn't you change things? Would you change things? You know, I love that because I've heard people before, I wouldn't change anything in my life. I'm like, are you stupid? I mean, you know, for me, I would change a whole bunch of things. But we can't, can we? We can't. So what the Bible message is this. Let's be aware of reality. Christian, we will be judged for what we do for Christ. We will stand before our great Savior. And we will answer to Him for what we've done in the body. Don't take that as discouragement. Take that as a refocused life, right? So, you know, I'm telling you, one of the best experiences I've had in a long time was this little mini heart attack that I had. And I told my wife, I said, I should probably have a mini heart attack every year and a half or so. And I'm loving life. I am enjoying life more. I'm more focused. I want to live for Christ. I know I'm going to face my Lord. I'm closer to the grave than I am my birth. I'm not going to live till I'm 100. Right? So I'm excited about it. I look forward to being with my Lord, and I want to be aware, you know what? I'm going to forget those things behind. I'm not going to remember those failures that I had. But I want to tell you this. The things that we need to forget, forget your successes as well. Because sometimes we Christians, we remember our successes, and then we think we can just coast. I can't find coasting in the Bible. First motivation is that we will be judged by Christ. Second motivation is that everything we do reflects on God. Whether it be good or bad, we reflect well on Christ or we reflect poorly on Christ. And then the third, and I love this, it was my favorite last week. It said this, it said, the love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ constrains us. That's twofold. It's a kind of a two-way street. The love of Christ from Christ to us is what is the saving difference in our life. That's what constrains us. But ultimately, it's our love to Him that will actually change our behavior. Do you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you do, it'll change your behavior. Now this morning then, I want you to see verse 17. All that leads in there, and it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. So, I'll ask you this morning, are you in Christ? Now let me tell you, there's two kinds of people. It's not red and yellow, black and white. It's not male and female. It's those that are in Christ and those that are in their sins. Now, I want to take you to John chapter 8. I just want to show you a couple of verses here. I think I've showed you these in the past maybe, but I want you to look at John chapter 8, verse 21. Jesus speaking here to the Pharisees. And John chapter 8. It says this in verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, John chapter 8, verse 21, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Now drop down to verse 24, he says nearly the same thing. He said, therefore, I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. There are two kinds of people. Those that are in Christ and those that are in their sins. The best illustration I have from the Bible would be Noah's Ark, right? If you were in the Ark, you were saved from the judgment of God. Everybody that was not in the Ark, they were in the world. They were in their sins. They were outside of the Ark. They all perished. There wasn't one person. There wasn't one human that survived the worldwide flood. If you were in the ark, and there were only eight people that were in the ark, the eight that were in the ark, they were saved from the judgment of God. Those that were outside of the ark, the judgment of God came upon them. It's the same concept. If you are in Christ, you are saved from the judgment of God. That's what, if someone ever asks you, are you saved? That's what that word means. Saved from the judgment of God. Saved from the wrath of God. Saved from the punishment of your sins. That's what that means. If you're in Christ, then you're saved from that judgment. If you're not, then you're in your sins. When Jesus told them in John chapter 8, He said, you shall die in your sins. That was the worst thing Jesus could ever say. If they would die in their sins, that means they will stand before God and they will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. That's the tragedy of those that die in their sins. Now, to be clear, we're going to jump in this and we're going to say, are you in Christ? And then we're going to see all the evidence. Now, let me just tell you quickly, and I don't mean to rush through this. What does it mean to be in Christ? I have a friend of mine that he's lost. What I mean by that is he's lost in his sins. He doesn't have a personal relationship with Christ. He's religious, goes to church every week, but he knows he's never truly committed his life to Christ. Here's what salvation is in its simplicity. Jesus is God. We're going to learn about that tonight. Absolutely critical. If you don't understand that Jesus is God, then you believe in a different Jesus. The Bible says that God put on flesh and became a man, that he came down to this earth, that he lived a perfect life, and that he died on the cross. Jesus gave of himself on the cross because the Bible says there is no remission or there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. That's why God had to put on flesh, because it was only the shedding of blood that would satisfy God the Father. So God put on flesh and became a man. But the only thing that would satisfy God is it had to be a perfect sacrifice. The only person that could meet that is it had to be an eternal sacrifice. And so God's the only one that fit the bill. He put on flesh and became a man, and his name is Jesus. You see, Jesus shed his blood. He died, was buried for 3 days, and then he rose from the dead. To be saved, you must completely turn from your sins. That's repent. You must, and we'll learn this morning, you must turn from the old ways. You must turn from your dependence and your desire to go with the way of the world. You turn from that, that's repentance, and you give your life to Jesus. You give him your sin, you completely believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he gives you his righteousness. He gives you eternal life, but your entire life changes. That's what it means to be in Christ. You see, you can't be in the world and of Christ. The Bible says you can't straddle it. You know, it was sort of like being halfway in the ark. That's not going to cut it. You're either in the ark and saved from the flood, or you're not in the ark. And so the question for you this morning is, are you in Christ? And what we'll do this morning is, we're going to look at the evidence in the scriptures that say, how do you know? How do you know you're in Christ? And what I want you to see is you'll see this evidence. And for Christians, you say, some Christians may be like, man, I know this. But Christians, here's what I want you to check in this morning. Is, do you remember when you first gave your life to Christ? And do you remember? And let's go back to our first love. So let's see this. Are you in Christ? Let's look at this. It first says this. Look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. The Bible says this. This is a clear teaching. That this flesh that you see here, this is what the Bible would call the old man. And you're like, yeah, we can say it's the old man in a number of ways, right? But this is, the Bible would call this flesh the old man. When I became a believer, when I was born again, when I was saved from my sins, I got a new creature, a new man. So it's a spiritual man. There is a new Steve and there is the old Steve. The new creature now, what the Bible says, it gives us two characteristics here. Look at this. It says this. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Two things that we see here. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So now, if you want to know, you see, the difference between religion and a relationship, the difference between someone that's truly a follower of Jesus and someone that's just kind of a fan. You guys, some of you have seen the series, Not a Fan. It's the difference is this. It's these two characteristics. It says that old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Understand this. You might be sitting here this morning. You say, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. I'm not sure if I'm a true follower of Jesus. I've gone to church a lot in my life. But here's the question. It's, are you ready to give up all the old ways? You see, it's old things are passed away. It's saying this, you know what? The way I used to do, the places I used to go, the things I used to say, the things I wanted to do, those are all the old things and I turn from those. I also want you to understand this. There is a place of growth. There is an instantaneous new man that's created. Boom! You're saved. Boom! Everything changes. Old things are passed away, but you still have to discipline yourself daily. Do you understand that? Every morning I wake up, I need to bring my body into subjection. But I want to tell you, if you're a true believer, it says that old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. This is a definition of a true believer. Did all things ever become new for you? I love asking people this. You've heard me say this before. Just do this. People don't know how to respond. Landon, I won't ask you this live, but you know, if I ask you this, hey, who you living for? People are like, or I could just ask you, what are you living for? I mean, I do that. I was at Home Depot the other day, cashier, and I just said, hey, what are you living for? And she freaked out. She said, I don't know, you know, you would have thought I said something like, I've got a gun in my pocket, I want to steal all your money. I mean, I think she might have been more relaxed if I would have said that. And you know, I think she thought, this guy's a weirdo. And she said, I don't even know, what do you mean? I said, when you woke up this morning, I said, who are you living for? The number one answer I get after they're just like, please leave, is what they want to say. And the number one answer I get is, my kids, my family, right? And I go, well, I said, let me tell you, if I'm thinking right, who I should be living for. Jesus Christ saved me from my sins. And if I'm thinking right when I wake up in the morning, I have a battle. My choice is, am I going to live for Steve today? Am I going to live for Jesus Christ today? Because when Jesus Christ saved me from my sins, He gave me a new life. And you know, when I'm practicing, working on a message, you know, I'm going to work it out here a little bit. You know, I'm just, I want people to understand that. He gave me new desires. He gave me a new purpose. He gave me a new life. And now when I wake up, if I'm thinking right, and see, Christian, this is important. I'm telling you, the most excited that I ever was when I was first saved, right? I think I've told you about that before. Now this is back in the 70s, right? And so, we weren't allowed to talk to strangers back then, but it wasn't nearly as bad of an environment. I think I've told you this before. I wasn't allowed to talk to strangers, but when I got saved, I figured I was allowed to talk to strangers. So we lived at the corner of a street, and we had a stop sign in the corner of our yard. And this is back in the day when more people smoked. So this guy was smoking at the stop sign of our house, right? And so you think I lack tact now. I've come a long way. So I kind of walked out there, you know, to the stop sign, and some of you, have heard this story, and I said, hey, I don't even remember how I said it, right, but all I remember is I got in trouble. So I said, hey, you need to stop smoking. I said, if you don't stop smoking, you're going to go to hell. I was allowed to say that word now that I'm a Christian, right? And man, that guy, he got so mad. I mean, you know, it's amazing my ears aren't huge, because so many people grabbed my ears when I was a kid. I mean, boom, he grabbed my ear. And he said, where do you live? And I'm right here. So he dragged me up to my door. You know, he didn't let go of my ear. And man, he got all mad at my parents. And my mom was home. So I didn't get a spanking then. That's pretty cool because I got so many of them. And she tried to tell me, she said, you know, I understand what you're trying to do, but there's a better way to do it. There's a better way to do it, right? But I'm telling you, when I was saved, even as 8 years old, I wanted to tell other people about Jesus. You know, I didn't exactly have it right. That guy could have stopped smoking. Would he go to heaven because he stopped smoking? He wouldn't go to heaven. But I knew this. I knew something that said, you know, I don't think you should be smoking. I really should have dealt with his sin, but I know at 8 years old that all things became new. Behold, the old ways weren't the case. All of a sudden, I had a new master. I was living for a new Savior. And I want to tell all the kids, if you really know Jesus, then tell somebody else about Jesus. Because here's what I believe. It doesn't say when you turn 21, when you turn 18, when you turn 16, when you turn 14, that behold, all things become new. You know, old things are passed away. It says this. If you're truly saved, you should have a desire to live for Jesus. You should have a desire to honor Him with your entire life, right? You see, because if you're in Christ, it's not just the ticket out of hell. It's a whole new life. It's a whole new purpose. It's a whole new reason to get up every day, because if you're in Christ, then you'll love Jesus and you'll serve Him. You see, there's only two kinds of people, the Bible says. Those that are in Christ and those that are in their sins. And so I want to beg you this morning, can you go back? And this is important. It doesn't mean that, Christian, you know, we struggle with sin. We're going to grow in grace, the Bible says. And I have a number of verses. Let me just make sure I balance all this, right? Listen to this. It says in Ephesians 4, verse 14 and 15, it says, therefore, henceforth, be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, but speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. There's going to be spiritual growth. We're going to grow in the Lord. But I really want to ask you this. Was there ever a point that all things became new? That all things were past? You see, that's a description of a Christian. It says this. Am I reading it right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So I want to ask you this. Do you remember when God saved you? Do you remember what it was to be a new creature? Do you remember what it was to say, man, those old things, they don't excite me as much. Talked to a young man early this week, and I told him this, and look, I like sports too, I do. And I follow sports, but here's what I do love. The older I get, the less important sports become to me. The older I get, the less important the things of the world mean to me. I mean, you know, Andrew, I was pretty impressed with myself this morning that I didn't, you know, because I didn't jump up on my computer and find out who won the McGregor-Mayweather fight, right? I mean, so there's no criticism, right? It's so fun, right? I love youth. I love your enthusiasm, right? I mean, you know, the biggest thing happening in sports, if you're, you know, living under a rock, that's okay. And if you can feel spiritual, was this fight that happened last night, right? One guy earned $250 million. Another guy earned at least $30 million, probably $100 million after all that. So if you don't know about it, then you'll feel spiritual. So I love this. So Andrew's so excited about it. And so, you know, man, he's got his whole boxing thing. And so I was at their house last night, and he has his boxing, you know, mitts on. He's out there punching his bag. It's all cool. But here's what I want, Andrew, one day. There's no issues with that. I want Christ to continue to grow. And it doesn't mean that there was nothing wrong. I didn't see anything wrong. But I'll tell you this. You know what I would love? I would love if I was as excited about Jesus Christ as you were about that fight last night. No criticism, I promise you. I love children, right? I told you I found a bag in the back row a few weeks ago, right? And I just kind of, you know, clean up the church, want to make it look good, right? And lo and behold, valuable rocks were in the bag. And I was like, first I was like, some stupid kid liking his rocks, and you know, that was a bad attitude. But then I realized, oh, for the day that rocks would be so exciting that I would put them in a bag and be like, I've got my rocks. You know, don't you love the enthusiasm of children? Have you forgotten how exciting it was to be in Christ? Have you forgotten how exciting it is to be a Christian? What it means that old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so I promise you, I love your enthusiasm. I love watching people. I love watching people be excited about things, and it'll challenge me because, you know what I believe? It says do all to the glory of God. You know what? It's either right or wrong. If it's good to watch that, be excited about the fight. You know, but then what the Bible says is, when I see people excited about something, I go, am I as excited about Jesus Christ as they are about that particular thing? You see, my problem is I think I get more excited about things of this world than I do about Jesus Christ, because I have forgotten what it was like to go from being lost and headed to hell, and now I'm in Christ. Behold, all things become new. Behold, old things are passed away. Christian, I want to ask you this morning. Can you just ask the Lord, renew that love in my heart for you, that you know what, I lose, or how about this, that the most excited I am in life is about Jesus Christ. Ask yourself this morning, is Jesus what lights your fire, what gets you the most excited in this life? Is it the service of Jesus? Is it honoring Jesus Christ? Is He the one that you say, man, there's nothing better than that? If it's not, then make it your goal. You know, don't kid yourself and go, well, no, I'm really not that excited about it. Right? And so, be honest with what you love. But can't we love Christ more than that? See, I want to tell you this. What the Bible says is, for those that are in Christ, if there was never a time in your life where old things were past and everything became new and that Jesus Christ was now your purpose, Jesus Christ was now your life, my guess for you is you're still not in Christ. The Bible says, behold, we become a new creature. All things become new. Now, I want you to look at this second thought. This is fun and this will be good for us. We are reconciled to God. And look at this in verse 18. It says this. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So we're reconciled to God. That word reconciled there, I love that. It means the word exchange. So that's a beautiful picture. That word reconcile means exchange. And so here's what we did. We gave Jesus our sin in exchange for his righteousness. So what I'm going to tell you this morning is, we're going to talk about this in a little bit. The Bible says that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, right? We've been given the word of reconciliation. So what is reconciliation? If I were to ask you this morning, what does it mean to be reconciled to Christ? Well, it gives us that answer in this passage. Three things I want you to see what it means to be reconciled to Christ. Look at verse 19. It said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Now, here's what it is. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. So sin was not imputed unto us. Now, that's a fancy word. Any of my front row scholars, who knows what the word imputed means? Skyline Chili Lunch, if you know. You know, all of a sudden that increased their desire. They're going to guess. They're going to try. What does imputed mean? Given that their sins are not given to them. Close. That would be McDonald's, not Skyline. Sin's not imputed to us. What that means is that's a financial term. That's an accounting term. That they're not charged to us. You see, here's the reality. The reality is this. To be reconciled to God, to be made right with God, to be returned to the favor of God. You see, because everyone that's not in Christ, we are not in favor with God. To be reconciled, to have that exchange, we cannot have our sins charged to us, right? We cannot have favor with God if we have our sins charged to us, so they can't be charged to us, but that's not it. That's part of reconciliation. I want you to see the second thing here. Look at verse 21. It says, for he, God is referenced in verse 20, the he there is God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. So Jesus Christ became sin for us. In order to be reconciled, you see, this is important that you understand this. If in just a second I'm going to talk about, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given the word of reconciliation. So David, if I were to tell you, David, I want you to go out and I want you to handle the ministry of reconciliation. You'd be like, what does that mean, right? And so the first thing is that we need to understand this, that if our sins are charged to us, we're in trouble. The only way to be reconciled to God is our sins cannot be charged to us. How in the world does that happen? Because I'm guilty. I've broken God's law hundreds, thousands of times. Maybe I've lived long enough. Maybe I'm in the millions. I've butchered God's law. I deserve His wrath. How is it that my sins won't be charged to me? It's that Christ became sin for us. You see, that's the great exchange. That's the great reconciliation. That's the great substitute that Christ must be. You see, because this is a truth. So when you tell people, every one of your sins, Mike, have to be punished. Every one of them. There are two options. If you die in your sins, then God has no choice. He must punish your sins in eternity in hell. If you die in your sins. You see, the only other option is that Jesus took your sin and that then you put your faith in Christ. For everyone that's a believer, Jesus took your punishment. For those that don't, you must take your punishment. in hell. You see, that's the great exchange, to be reconciled. You see, you must understand that. To be reconciled to God, it's dealing with that your sin can't be charged to you. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, we deserve it. You stand before a judge here, I'm sorry, if you've broken the law, there's nobody else that can take your place. It's you. You're the one that's guilty. There are no other options. But before God, He allows one substitute, and that Christ became sin for us. You must understand that. That's what reconciliation is. And there's a third part. Look at verse 21. There's a third part. So we're going to see this. This is important. Look at this in verse 21. He became sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Threefold. Threefold. So, this ministry of reconciliation, here's what we do. We should go to people and tell them this. You know, are you in your sins, right? You just ask people questions, right? Just to start conversations. I've learned, you know, if I wait for the door to open, it never opens. So I just kind of, boom, just tap it open, right? And do it in a way that people are, whoa, what are you talking about, right? I mean, I have fun, right? The cashier did calm down the other day. I was able to share the gospel with her. And so people will look at you weird, but then they realize, he's not as weird as I thought. And so that's always a good place to start. You know, just set the bar high and they think, man, he's really weird. And then when you're not weird, then you exceed expectations. It works. Trust me, they'll listen to you. And so this is important. The ministry of reconciliation is threefold. Mike, if your sins are charged to you, Andrew, if your sins are charged to you, David, if your sins are charged to you, God will be your judge. And He has to condemn you to eternal hell. The only way to avoid that is Christ must be made sin for you. And then when you give your life to Him, He gives you His righteousness. You see, most people understand this. When I ask people, you've heard me say this before, I ask people, hey, why should God let you into heaven? Most people say, well, because I'm good. Because I go to church. I've been baptized. They'll give me all kinds of answers that you can't find in the Bible. Is it good to be good? Yeah, but it won't give you eternal life. Is it good to go to church? Yeah, but it won't give you eternal life. Is it good to follow the Lord in baptism and do it scripturally? Yeah, but that won't get you into heaven. None of that will get you into heaven. It's only if you have the righteousness of Christ, if you are in Christ, if you've truly given your life to Christ, and you see, then we'll finish with this. Are you in Christ? It's that we are new creatures, we're reconciled to God, and we are ambassadors for Christ. Look at verse 20. It says this, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you or beg you by us. We pray you, and Christ said, be you reconciled to God. Look at this in verse 18, it says, He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Look at this in verse 19 at the end. He's given us the word of reconciliation. So here's the key. If you're in Christ, you say, I'm in Christ. I'm truly a believer in Christ. I followed Jesus Christ. Now here's the key. Justin, are you ready to preach and take the word of reconciliation? Justin, are you ready to tell people how they can be reconciled to God? Because Glenn, I'm telling you, the reason we've been made a new creature, the reason that God's said, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, is so that we might take the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation to others. And it's so important for us to understand that, right? It's so important for us to understand. Do you know Christ? Did you realize this, that your sins had to be placed on Christ? Your sins had to be suffered by Christ. And then you give your life to Him, He gives His righteousness to you. That's the word of reconciliation. That's the ministry of reconciliation. So I want to ask you this. Is that why you're living? We've been made a new creature. Behold, all things have become new. Old things are passed away. You see, that's why my hope and my prayer is this. Will you remember this? Because I know this. I want you to go back. When you were first saved, the number one characteristic of a new believer in Jesus Christ is they have to tell others about Jesus because that's all they know. They knew, I once was blind, but now I see. They knew that I was lost, but now I'm saved. They knew that I deserved hell, but now Christ has saved me from eternal hell. This young man I know, he was just recently saved, and I love this. Immediately, and I didn't tell him to do this, by God's grace, I'm going to have a Bible study with him and his dad. His dad's lost. He says, I've been telling my dad about Jesus. He goes, but I'd like a little help. He says, I want my dad to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes, my dad's lost. And you know, I tell everybody, if you're truly saved, just tell people what happened to you. Right? The ministry of reconciliation. If you're truly saved, you've been reconciled to God. You've been reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're really saved, just tell people what, because you guys may go, well, what are those 3 points again? I want to remember those. They're in the Bible. That's why I highlight them from the Bible. But you don't have to remember words like impute, because my scholars in the front row, they would remember it. But all of you would struggle a little bit. You don't have to remember the words even that I tell you. And if you can't remember the words that are in Scripture, I would encourage you to memorize the Word of God, learn the Word of God, know the Word of God. But can you tell somebody what Jesus did for you? You get tongue-tied. You go door knocking with us and you go, oh, Pastor, I can't do it the way you can. I'm telling you, when you forget all else, did you forget what Jesus did for you? I'm telling you, in the midst of your tongue-tied, just go, you know, I'm really nervous. But let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you what my life was before Christ. And let me tell you what my life is now in Christ. And I'm really nervous about this. Man, people will love you. They'll listen to you. They'll respect you. For the most part, they will. You know what? I mean, part of me says, you know, after you witness so much, I don't want to be the plastic credit card. You see, I have to discipline myself every time to let the individual that I'm dealing with, I have to really care for them and love them and not just check the box. You see, that's a risk, is it not, Christian? That we leave the Sunday services and we say, I'm going to tell people about Jesus, but we're just doing it just to kind of check the box. We need to have the heart of compassion that Jesus Christ did, where He wept over Jerusalem. Where He wept over the lost. Where He went back time and time and time again. But I want to beg you with this. I want to ask you this question. Do you have the ministry of reconciliation? Do you share the word of reconciliation? You see, because Jesus saved us, we've been made new creatures so that we might declare the good news of Jesus Christ, we might declare what it means to be reconciled to Jesus. We might declare this. You see, this is so important. Many people I ask, I just asked somebody just this past week, I said, well, if you were to die and God were to ask you why He should let you in heaven, what would you say? Two little girls, I think they were 13 and 11, and, you know, it's, you know, I have to remember that I'm taller than average, right? Because they kind of look at you like, who are you? And so, but this little girl said, I asked Him to forgive me. I said, who's Him? And she's like, God, I asked God to forgive me. Is that enough? You see, we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's good that you realize you've sinned. But have you been reconciled to God? Have you truly turned from your sins? Have you truly reconciled to Him? I'll finish with this. I want you to look at this last verse. I want you to look at verse 20. I want you to look at that last phrase in verse 20, but let's read the verse. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you or beg you by us, we pray you in Christ said, be you reconciled to God. I want to beg you this morning. Are you just religious? Or are you truly reconciled to God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you truly in Christ? Or are you just religious? Are you truly His? And then I want to tell you, if you are, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You know what an ambassador does, right? An ambassador is a representative that goes out from the kingdom, and they represent the kingdom according as the king dictates. You understand that? An ambassador is a representative of the kingdom that goes forth into the uttermost parts of the world and represents the kingdom. That's what we are called. We are called ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Remember, you see how this all fits together? It's that we will be judged for everything we do. Everything we do reflects on the Lord Jesus Christ, reflects on God Himself. You see, this is sounding a little bit like an ambassador. And it's the love of Christ that will constrain us. It's the love for Jesus Christ that will help us represent Him when times are good and when times are bad. And then finally, it's this. Are you a new creature in Christ? Are you truly born again? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Him as your Master this morning? If you don't, I beg you this morning, be reconciled to God. And Christian, just challenge yourself. Do I have the ministry of reconciliation? Do I have the word of reconciliation? Who is it? Who is it that I'm declaring this great message to? I want it to be a burden for you. I believe this with all my heart. I feel like a broken record sometimes when I preach, but I think the Bible's a broken record. The number one issue that Christians have, we don't tell people about Jesus. Tell somebody about Jesus. If each believer in this room, you told one person about Jesus, that would be far more than we did this past week. Remember this, we've been saved so that we would have the ministry of reconciliation. Let's pray.